Anybody know what day this is? Palm Sunday. Amen. Palm Sunday. If you turn your Bibles to the Palm Sunday chapter. Anybody know what that is? Book of Matthew. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew starting verse 8. When you get to say amen. You know what I love? I love hearing the pages of the Bibles being flipped. That's music to my ear. I know the new generation, they have it on their phone. They have it on the tablets and all of that. And that's great. I mean, that's okay. But I'm a little old school. I like to have the Bible in my hand. Amen. I like the word in my hand. I like to flip the pages. I like to turn the pages. It'll lick my finger. Turn the page. I just love that. And I love hearing them pages turn. Amen. And the Bible says, and a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. They had heard about Jesus coming into the city. They had a hope in him. They had a belief in him. They said, you know, that this Jesus is going to come and he's going to take us from all the tyranny, all of the depression and oppression of the Roman people. He's going to lift us up. He's going to set us free. He's our king. So what they did was a great multitude. They took their garments and they spread it on the ground. And they took the palm leaves. That's where the Palm Sunday come from. They had palm trees. And they laid it on the ground. And what they did, that was a show of respect and reverence for him. And it says, verse 9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're screaming this. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of Caesar. Not in the name of the First Baptist Church. Not in the name of the Second Baptist Church. But in the name of the Lord, he's cometh in the name of the Lord. They knew that because they had an expectation of what he would do for them. They had an expectation of what he would do for them, what they wanted him to do for them. But then we know what happened a few days later, don't we? But we'll get to that a few days later. But right now, Hosanna in the highest. They cheered. They showed respect and laid down their garments and spread down palm trees for him to walk on, or for him to ride on, to come into the city to do that. Because they had an expectation of what they wanted him to do. Are you getting that, church? They praised him. They cried out to him. They gave him honor, glory, and praise. When they had an expectation of what they wanted him to do. Didn't have no concern about what he wanted or what God wanted. It was all about what they wanted him to do. Amen? All right, just sit on that for a minute. Sit on that for a minute. And nobody in here has that type of thing, do we? We don't have that type of attitude, do we? Nobody. In the other churches, but not here. In Oklahoma, but not here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Matthew 6:33. Just turn back a few scriptures. Matthew 6:33. When you get to say amen. Now remember, they hollered, "Hosanna, he come in the name of the Lord. He's going to free us. He's going to have a good time," and all that. They wanted him to do what they wanted him to do. Now here we are in Matthew 6:33. It says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's say that again. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They were seeking the kingdom of God because they said he's coming in the name of the Lord. But it was in their righteousness, what they wanted, not what Jesus came here to do. See, they thought he was going to do one thing, but he came here to earth to do something else for the kingdom. They had earthly mentality. They had earthly thoughts. They had earthly desires. They didn't have no thinking about kingdom. The kingdom of what was good for the kingdom, what was right for the kingdom, why he came down here. And that's one of the things that we, men of God, that's what we did up there this weekend. Kingdom men. We did kingdom men teaching what it means to be a kingdom man. Not just a church man, not just a church member, but a kingdom man. Amen? A kingdom husband, kingdom father, a kingdom man. What does it really mean to be a kingdom man? And what does it look like to be a kingdom man? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all, not some, not a whole lot, not 50%, not 75%, not 99.999%, but what? But all things. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what he said, what he was talking about, before that, he was saying all the things that, you know, your daily provisions, your food, your clothes, all the things that we have to, you know, you got to eat, you got to wear clothes, you got to have a house where you live at. But he says, if you seek me first, he said, all these things. Now, when he said all these things, now it was talking about food and clothes and shelter and all that type of stuff. But what he was saying, when he said all, he meant everything in your life. Not only just your food, not only just your clothes, not only just your house, but all things. Everything will be added unto you if you seek him first. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not the kingdom of New York, not the kingdom of D.C., not the kingdom of the United States of America, but the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not my righteousness, not your righteousness, not what you want, but what he wants. This is something I say this all the time, and it came to me here a while ago. Lord, I want everything that you want for me. I don't want nothing else but whatever you want for me. Everything in me that is not of you, take it out by any means necessary. Everything of what I want, or what I think I need. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. John the Baptist says, I must decrease and him increase. Amen. We need to get rid of me, mine, I. And it's about him. You know, my brother said this morning, he said Bible study downstairs, Sunday school, he says, he raised his hand. I think this is the first time he said anything since he's been here. He said, the Lord gave him something. He says, not. And John F. Kennedy said that. He said the Lord told him, not what God can do for me, but what can I do for God? That blessed me, brother. That really blessed me that he did, that you said that. So praise the Lord. So anyway, what can we do for God? I'm glad you asked me that. We could seek him first. We can seek him first. Amen. What can we do for God? We can seek him first. Because if we don't, Who are we seeking first? Who do we seek first when we're in trouble? Who do we seek first when we have a need? Huh? Yes, okay. Do we seek Mr. Walker? Johnny? Do we seek Mr. Crack? Do we seek Mr. Heroin? Do we seek Mr. Pornography? Do we seek Mr. or Mrs.? Who do we seek first? But the thing about it is, we will seek everything else, and then where everything else is exhausted, then we'll say, well, let me seek Him. Let me seek God. Let me pray. Let me go to God. After we done went around the world two or three times, and then we'll finally say, well, after we've gone through all the disappointment, the heartache, the frustration, everything that we've gone through, and then all of a sudden we'll say, well, let's try Jesus. Let's try Jesus. And He says, if you seek me first in my righteousness, my right standing, you seek what you desire. That's how you can tell where you are. You know, I say this all the time. You know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Examine yourself to see where you be out of faith. You seek what you desire. What are you seeking? What if you have been seeking? That's what you need to ask yourself. When I wake up in the morning, what do I desire? Because whatever I desire, I'll be seeking. Whatever it might be, I'm going to seek that first. But if we, who are called by His name, Lord, I ask, Father God, that you touch him, that you bless him. Is he able to stand? No. Father, I just ask that you would touch him. I ask, Father God, that you would just, whatever the situation is, oh Father God, that you would intervene. That you would intervene, oh Lord Jesus. Have your way with him, Lord. Do we have a nurse in the house? I'm sorry, everybody, but we need to deal with this situation up here. Huh? 207 State. Yeah, all you got to say is First Baptist on the square. There, Kyle. Does anybody have any candy, anything, any sugar? God, I think that's what it is. Samuel, are you feeling better? Why don't you we take him out here in one of the rooms out here, give him some air, if he's able to stand. Huh? Okay. All right. At least he's conscious now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Michelle, is it in sugar? Is it low? Does anybody have any? Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Terrence, why don't you move back? Let him have some air. Let him have air. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What now? Okay. So they just want someone to be at the door to them. Okay. Mark, go to the door to see the EMS when they come in, and bring them up. Perry, Terrence, y'all move back. Is he able to stand? No? Not yet, okay. And once again, everybody, I'm not going to apologize, because if it was you, we'd do the same thing. Amen. That's what we do. We're family, you know, and family is important. So we're going to make sure that he's okay. Perry, why don't you go down there and bring him up through the two doors down there, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's up on his own. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Sam, you're going to be okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Here we are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As he was there and he was unconscious, and we prayed, he became conscious, and he was able to walk off by himself. Amen? That's the power of prayer. So thank you all. Thank you all. Yes. Amen. Amen. You seek what you desire. You desire what you seek. Our duty is to seek and desire and pursue God first. Our duty as Christians, as men and women of God, is to seek God, desire Him, and pursue Him. We must mind the heavens as our end, and holiness as our way. We walk in holiness while we're here to obtain heaven at our end. Holiness and righteousness. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? It is to seek to live in accordance with God's standard and God's guideline. What is it to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? It is to seek the kingdom of God to live in accordance with God's standard, his guidelines. The bottom line is that to be obedient. To be obedient. Where rubber meets the road, to seek the kingdom of God is to be obedient to his word, to be obedient to him. Do you know God? And we went over that at first. Who do you seek when you're in trouble? Who do you seek when you need guidance? Who do you seek when you're looking for direction first? Do you seek him first or do you seek him last? You got to seek him first. I'm going to give you some examples of seeking. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles was 1, 7 through 12. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto the Lord, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in the multitude. He said, God said, what do you want from me, Solomon? You ask what you will from me. He said, because of my father David, I'm ruling in his stead. He said, and there's so many people that I'm ruling over. In verse 10, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible says, give me wisdom and knowledge. Give me wisdom and knowledge, Lord. He said, ask me whatever you want. Y'all know y'all seen the little genie lamps? Where you rub the little genie lamp and the little genie come out and say, ask what you will. Get that's right, three wishes. That's right. Three wishes. What do you want? What would you ask if you could have anything in the whole world? And you think about that, don't you? Let me tell you what he said. He said, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. And who can judge this people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart. This was in your heart. This is something that's inside of you. He says, and thou hast not asked riches or wealth, honor, nor the life of thy enemies, yet as thou has not asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that you mayest judge my people over whom I have made you king. He says, listen, because you have seeked me first, because you have asked something out of your heart, not out of what your want is. Could have asked for anything. He said, you didn't ask for to win the lottery, the mega Powerball. You didn't ask for a house in L.A. and London. You didn't ask for a Mercedes or a Bentley or a Rolls Royce. You didn't ask to live forever. But what you asked was for me to give you the wisdom and the knowledge to lead my people. You asked for something to be a servant and to be led by my spirit. And he says, because you have done that, he says, I will give thee riches. Oh, because you didn't ask for yourself. He said, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have ever had before, neither shall there have any like that shall be. He says, because of you ask not of your want, because you ask that you may be a servant unto me, to serve my people. He said, you didn't seek my hands. He said, you came after my heart. You seek me first. And let me tell you something. When we go to God in his heart, he'll open up his hands. He'll open up his hands and he'll bless you. He'll bless you more than you could ever receive, he said. Retain. So that was one. King David, when they went off to war and they was coming back and they saw smoke in his village, and they came to his village and all of his houses were burned, all the things were burned, and his wife, his kids, all of them was stolen. All of his goats and sheep and all his possession was gone. You know what he did? He said, now once again, and his men who was loyal to him, they were so hurt, upset, and mad, they were talking about stoning him. You know what he did? He didn't say, oh, let's go after him. Let's go get revenge. He said, let me seek the Lord to see what he wants me to do. And the Lord says, pursue them. You will recover all. He went, had victory over them, and he recovered his wives, his children, all of his possession, and everybody, all of his men, recovered everything that the enemy stole from them. Why? He went to the Lord first. He went to the Lord first. Disciples, follow me. What did it say? It said immediately they dropped their nets. Their way of life. All the things that they have accumulated. They dropped it and did what? They followed Jesus. Oh, look what they gained. Here it is, 2,000, almost 2,000 and a half years ago, we're reading about the disciples and how God has blessed them, and we're using them as an example. Why? Because they seek the Lord first. Left all that behind, those earthly things. Nehemiah. We know the story of Nehemiah. Most of us, just in case one don't. He was a cupbearer to the king. And he went to the king one day. The king said, why are you so downhearted? Why are you so sad? You're not sick. He said, oh, king. He said, in my homeland, they have destroyed the wall. They have burned the gates down in my homeland. He said, I can't help but being sad. The king said, well, what do you want? And it said that Nehemiah prayed. He went to the Lord first. Now, he had prayed up before. He had been praying way before that. But right at that time when the king said, well, what do you want? It said that he prayed. He didn't say, well, king, I'll get back to you because we got prayer meeting Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Let me go to the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock and let's see what everybody else would want me to pray about. No. He went to God first. And when he opened back his mouth, he said, Lord, he said, King, he said, could you let me go? To go back to my where I'm from and to rebuild the wall, to rebuild the gates. He said, oh, by the way, King, could you give me a letter so when I come across people who might do me harm, I can show that letter to them that you are the one who is allowing me to do that. Oh, and by the way, King, could you give me another letter to go to the forest to tell the people and keep of the forest to give me supplies to build the wall, to build the gates back up? Why do you think he got all that faith? This was a pagan king. This wasn't a godly man. He was a pagan. Why do you think that happened? Because Nehemiah seeked the Lord first. He went to the Lord and God gave him what to speak out of his mouth. It's the same thing with us, church. When we put him first, when we put him first, not the world, not your emotions, but when we put him first. Many people, not in here, but many people who come to church every week, every month, every year, for years, they will use God as a spare tire. What do we use a spare tire for? When our tire is flat. And you go into the trunk and you get your tire, spare tire out, and you put it on there. And then once you get to the filling station or somewhere else and they fix your tire, you take your spare tire and do what? Put it back in the trunk. The only time you bring the tire out is when you need it. Many people in a lot of churches who call themselves Christians, the only time that they will want to use God is when they need Him. Instead of seeking Him first. How many in here know about baseball? All right, you know baseball is a all-American sport, right? And what it is, you have a team of guys, and they have a little ball, and they have a bat, and they have gloves, and one team, you know, they're out in the field, and the other team is at home, and they bat. They bat the ball, they hit the ball, and then what do they have to do? Run. And once they hit the ball and run, if they run to the right places and get around the right places and get back home, they do what? Score a point. And at the end of the game, the ninth ending, whoever has the most points win, right? Right. So let's just say this is not a bat, baseball bat. This is for George. Amen. Anyway, let's say that I'm at home plate. Okay? I'm at home plate. All right? Now, this is first base. Karen is second base. There's third base. And this is home. Once again, this is first base. G's second base. Beer is third base. And this is home plate. So I'm at home plate. All right. Now the pitcher is pitching. Right. Swing and I miss. Strike one. Not no foul. Strike one. And the pitcher ball again. Strike two. And y'all saying, he going to strike out. Pastor can't play no ball. He going to strike out. But here, the pitcher. I hit it over the fence. Said I wasn't going to hit. So here I go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hit a home run. And then the umpire comes to me and says, you're out. Wait, no. I hit it over the fence. Everybody's cheering. Go, Pastor. I hit it over the fence. All I needed was one more run to win the game. I won the game. The umpire says, you're out. Remember? First base, what did I do? I hit all of the bases, but I didn't go to first base. All of that hitting over the fence, y'all cheering. Team is like, yeah. He won the game. He's our whatever. He's our champion. Yes, MVP. Yes. Umpire says, you're out. I made it home, But when I made it home, the umpire said, "You're out." Why? I missed first base. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Come to church week years, and when you come home base, you're like, "Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready." And he says, "Depart from me. But I went to church. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. You know all that. You see what I did? You see, I did. But you never touched his face. You never committed your life to me. You never had a relationship with me. You did all that other stuff. You went to church. You prayed. You put a couple of dollars in the plate every now and then. You visited the sick. You did all that. But you missed first. And the first one is important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? Where are you this morning, church? You rounding second base? Are you rounding third base on your way home? But we're rounding life. We're rounding life. But what church have you touched first base? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you had a relationship with Jesus? Or have you just had a form of godliness and not touched the first base? You know it. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know you missed first base. Everybody's cheering. Everybody's talking about praise the Lord. God is good all the time and all of this here. Everybody telling you, "Oh, you okay? You're on your way home. I'm going to keep on running." But when we do get home, what are we going to hear? We're going to hear one of two things. "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or, "Well done, or well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in home. Come on in home into the joy of the Lord. Come on in home and be with me for eternity. Come on in home. You fought the good fight. Now victory is ours. All for eternal life." Something need to think about, don't it? On this Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna. We sang the songs this morning. Y'all sang the songs. Didn't we? "I exalt thee." All the mothers. We sang all that. But have we touched first base? Or have we been just rounding that or not? You know. And more importantly, God knows where you are. So I'm going to ask you this morning. If you have not truly surrendered your life, but you're not seeking God first and his righteousness, desiring to love him, desiring to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, desiring to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's how you can tell where you are. That's how you can tell if you touch first base or not. Do you love him with everything? Do you love your neighbor more than you do yourself? Regardless who your neighbor is. Regardless what color your neighbor is. Regardless what nationality your neighbor is. I'm going to bring it home to you. You know, we seeing all this stuff on the news about this, that, and the other. The border. Yeah. I'm going to bring it to you. Do you love them people at the border? Do you love the people at the border? Because they're made in the image of Jesus. Are you going along with everybody else in the world? They don't need to be here. They're taking our jobs. They're doing this and that. They are people who are created in the image and the likeness of God. Oh, what about the Jewish people? They're made in the image and the likeness of God. What about the Asians, the Chinese? They're made in the image of God. Yet the world is hating people because of where they come from, what they look like. We should, church, we should not do that. And we're not going to do that here. We're not going to do that. That's why we're the whosoever church. I don't care who you come from. You come from the border, whether you come from China, whether you come from Israel, wherever you come from. You can come into this church and we're going to love you. We're going to embrace you. Let me tell you something. If you got something in your heart, art against a brother, somebody that's whatever, I'm going to tell you something. You need to repent. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you. And stop this nonsense that we're going through. Church. If you was in the world, that's what you do. But you're not in the world anymore. You shouldn't be anyway. You shouldn't be anyway. So where are you, church? Have you touched? Do you have love for the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you have love for your neighbor? You calm down. Got it. Come on over here. Now, y'all know Scott. Turn around. Y'all know, right? And we all love Scotty, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you know that some places that Scotty might go, that he might not be accepted? Do you know that? Do we know that? But let me tell you something. We love our Scotty. He's accepted here. Man. I love you too. Why? Scotty keeps coming here every night. No, we ain't gonna do that. We ain't gonna do that, Scotty. Y'all know what Scotty want to do. We ain't going to do that, Scotty.
Yeah, but
not to me. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, the reason Scotty can come up here and do that is because he knows that he's loved. He knows that he's accepted. He knows that he's in a safe place. He knows that whatever his need is, it's going to be provided for. Amen?
Yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
knows that. Oh, Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can go sit down now, Scotty. Praise the Lord. Our family without Scotty. You know that? We wouldn't be the same. God. You know, and all the rest of you, Don Foot, wouldn't be the same without Don Foot. Even though. Dennis. You're not here, Dennis, so I know you're watching. We're not the same without you being here, Dennis. You better be here next week.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Oh, Vera. Lord have mercy. Woo! We need grace for Vera. Mercy and grace.
Yeah.
But anyway, church. What a blessing it is that we come together out of whoever you are, whosoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your past is, or whatever you're even doing now, to come and know that we're going to love one another. We're going to respect one another. We're going to help one another. How good is that? It don't get no better. Don't get no better than that. Praise the Lord. So once again, If you haven't been seeking him first, that's how you can know if you touch first base or not. If you haven't, are, amen. I'm going to ask you, raise your hand and stand up. Raise your hands, stand up. I'm so glad to see you. I don't know what to do, young man. We've been storming the heavens for you, and here you are back again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask all of you who stood up and that's raising your hand. Now, she can keep, let her keep her hand up. She's raising. God sees that hand. He sees that hand. She's not ashamed. Amen. Not ashamed. Amen. Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord. Raise that hand up high. Raise up two hands. All right. Praise the Lord. You pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, come before you today. I'm standing and raising my hands. I'm touching first base. I'm seeking you first today. I confess that I am a sinner. But today, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, and he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. From this day forward, I will serve you with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, and I will love my neighbor as myself. From this day forward, I accept this free gift of salvation by faith in the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.